Hey there, Kwajo here, and I understand that running your own Facebook ads can be quite complicated and intimidating, and yet at this point, you're not ready to hire out Facebook ad management. So, if this is you, I can teach you how to run your own Facebook ads, one-on-one, unlimited support over the next 28 days. We will have three Zoom calls, and in between those calls, you get all the support and all my strategies. I will audit your graphics, your ad copy, make sure that you're set up the way that's working best for my clients. We'll take care of all the analytics. I will coach you step by step how to troubleshoot ads, how to know when to scale, and how to read all the signs so that you're equipped to run successful lead magnet campaigns and profitable sales campaigns and registration campaigns for your launch or what have you. If you need this kind of support from me right now, then click the link in the show notes below. It's the art of online business forward slash call. I've been doing this all along, but now the offer is just focused on helping you run your successful ad campaign within the next 28 days, and the next five people get a pretty nice discount. All right, the link is in the show notes below. Back to the episode.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's one of the reasons why I like Facebook so much is because, it allows me to actually find that person that previously it was really, really hard for me to find, who that decision maker was.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, everybody. What's going on? Rick Mulready here. This is episode number 145. Hope this finds you well. Thanks a lot for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. I'm really excited about today's episode. Allison George, who's a student of mine, is going to join me to talk about how she markets her family's golf course with Facebook advertising. Allison was voted back in 2015 as the eighth most innovative person in the golf industry by Golf Inc. magazine. And her family's golf course is outside of Des Moines, Iowa. And for years, she did the traditional methods of local marketing like radio, TV, and Groupon, until she found and started testing Facebook ads, that is. And I'm saying that with a big smile because, as you're going to hear today, she is just crushing it with Facebook ads. And she now only markets her golf course business on Facebook, which has allowed her to cut her local marketing budget by tens of thousands of dollars. And one thing I love about Allison is that she's completely self-taught and she's successful because of her mindset and her willingness to try new things. This mindset, we talk about it a lot here in the podcast, having the right mindset when it comes to marketing, online marketing and paid traffic is really key to your success. So today we dive into the Facebook ad campaigns that Allison runs for her golf course. And there are two campaigns in particular that we're really going to break down here today. One campaign where she spent about $100 on Facebook ads and did over $50,000 in revenue from that $100 spend. We break that campaign down here for you today. And then another campaign where she spent $500 on Facebook ads and brought in over, get this, $150,000 in revenue, fully booking her event space with weddings for the year from this campaign. So we're going to dive into her strategies, her offers, her targeting, the objectives that she uses, how she tracks the success of her campaigns, why she builds her email list, and then how she leverages that email list, and a whole lot more. Now, what I really want you to listen for today is how Allison crafts her offers. Yes, her goal is to bring in revenue, obviously, for the business, but she's also trying to build trust and relationships with her local target audience, which she understands will then turn into revenue. And the way that she does this is a way that most local businesses are not going to be thinking about or wouldn't even consider trying. So you're going to hear exactly how she does that here in today's episode. with Allison. Now, before we dive into it with her, I want to let you know about a free online training class that I've got coming up for local businesses. It's called How Local Businesses Can Increase Leads and Sales with Facebook Ads While Cutting Your Marketing Budget. So if you are a local business looking for a more cost-effective way to consistently attract qualified leads and customers to your business, this free online training class is going to be for you. I'm going to be teaching the exact four-step formula for creating a consistent flow of leads and customers every week with Facebook ads. We're going to be talking about offers, targeting, and I've also got lots of case studies for you that you can learn from and model for your own local business. Now, I'm going to be doing actually three live online training classes starting on Wednesday, July 26th. So I'm going to be doing two on Wednesday the 26th and then another training on Thursday, July 27th. So if you'd like to register for one of these live online training classes, just go to rickmulready.com/FBAdsLocal. Again, that's rickmulready.com/FBAdsLocal. Or if you're in the US and you'd like to text in to register, you can text the word local training. That's one word, local training. Text that to 44222. Text local training to 44222 and you can register right there over your phone. All right. Without further ado, I'm very happy to introduce you to Allison George. Allison, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for, we've been working through some technical issues to get the quality much better. Thank you for working with me on this here. I'm really excited to have you on here. We were just chatting before we hit record that we're recording this at the end of June 2017 here. And you said by the end of the month, you will have run 100 events. You and your family own a golf course outside of Des Moines, Iowa, in Pleasant Hill, Iowa. And I was thinking 100 events, like since the beginning of the year. You were like, no, 100 events in June, this year. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, we're crazy.
So how do you fit 100 events into a month at a golf course?
Well, we're a little unusual in that we have a driving range as well as a miniature golf course and a main 18-hole golf course plus an event center. So essentially we have five businesses in one. And so it actually is not that hard to get 100 events in because we've got miniature golf, birthday parties, weddings, business seminars, lessons, anniversaries, you know, graduation parties, all sorts of things like that. So it's just a matter of putting in long hours of work.
But, sure. And you were voted, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Golf Magazine voted you eighth most innovative person in the golf industry. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
That is pretty, that is pretty darn cool. Like what, tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I just kind of do my own thing. As you mentioned earlier, my family has owned a golf course for almost 45 years. Next year will be our 45th year. And I took over as a third generation back in 2004. And so, you know, golf is a pretty competitive sport as far as, you know, and there's a lot of competition in my area. We have about 30 golf courses, like within a 30, 40 mile radius. And so we're all kind of competing for the same person. And so over the years, I've just tried to dial in of, you know, how to kind of separate myself. And I've kind of built a name up in the industry because I do lots of things that have always maybe been frowned upon as a golf industry just because they kind of have a reputation for being, you know, kind of more elitist and a rich man's sport. And that is definitely not what we have at our golf course. And we had lots of great success attracting families and youth and that kind of stuff to, you know, even do more than just golf.
Gotcha. So you have five businesses, one, as you mentioned. You got the driving range and the event center and the golf course and so forth. What types of marketing do you generally do for each of those events? And kind of like, obviously it's going to be a little bit different, I'm assuming, for each one of those things, right?
Yeah, that's really where I joined your FB Advantage Local course last year. And for the last, you know, 10 years or so, I had always just used, you know, radio, TV, ads, Groupon. I really wish I didn't have that in my hat, but sadly I do. and just tried lots of different ways in order to gain business. It's kind of a competitive business in that, you know, you only have so many nice days, and so it's completely weather dependent. And so when you have nice weather, you know, you better be hopping. Otherwise, you know, it makes it difficult to make up for the winter days when we have snow on the ground. And so basically what I used to do is I would try to advertise, like maybe for a business, like an HR person or something like that, and let them know, hey, you know, we have a great facility for team building. Not necessarily, you don't even really have to be a golfer, but you could use our, you know, event center or our miniature golf, or, you know, use like a lunch and learn. And I used to do lots of commercials for that type of thing. We do a lot of miniature golf birthday parties. And then we also did a thing we called, it was Tuesday Burger Night. And I just was so frustrated because I'd be spending a lot of advertising dollars and just not really having a really good aim method to track my return, as well as I was having a hard time finding that exact person who could use my facility as a team building. Pretty much when they hear a radio ad, they're just thinking for a golfer. Yeah. And so that's why I loved when I started studying your course and following you and listening to your podcast. I was like, oh, this is the answer. This is what I've been looking for, of how to completely target, you know, that exact customer. And then I can kind of shine in my own way of letting them know, hey, even if you're not a golfer, I'm a great way for you to be able to use our facility.
And you're targeting locally, obviously, like within a certain mile radius. And you mentioned you've got all these golf courses here that are within your area there. So there's a lot to choose from. But one of the differentiating factors, as you mentioned, you've got this one thing, you've got this meeting space that you can that you can market. I thought you said something really interesting there where you're like, you know what, we are obviously very weather dependent, but, and you told me about before we started recording here, you're trying to pay 12 months of bills within, let's say, a 6 month time period because of the weather. And so you're really trying to condense, you know, the revenue into these 6 months. Now, how do you approach that from an offer perspective when you are so dependent on the weather? How do you approach the offers that you're putting out there?
Well, one of the things that I started doing, well, first of all, what my huge success when I, the first thing I did after taking your course was I ran a Cyber Monday campaign. You know, if you're in the retail business whatsoever, of course, everybody knows that, you know, you make a lot of money if you can get into the Christmas season or Cyber Monday or whatever it is. And being a golf course, you know, first of all, we are located just outside of Des Moines, but, you know, we're a 15-minute drive from downtown, and it may not necessarily be something you want to do, and, you know, when there's 5 inches of snow on the ground in December.
Right.
And so I was trying to brainstorm a method that I could offer golf even when someone actually wasn't going to be able to redeem it and play. And so what I ended up doing is I offered a coupon and started selling vouchers in my online store. And then those vouchers were redeemable then during the golf season. It was extremely successful. I just kind of was making a stab at it, not really knowing exactly what I was doing, because it's pretty foreign marketing method for a golf course, certainly, if not even just a local business in general. And on Cyber Monday, I sold a little, almost $50,000 in vouchers for golf. And so we were all, you know, high-fiving.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And so, what I did was I packaged lots of different things together. Like, we had one that was called a beer buddy pass. So it was, you know, 18 holes and a cart and a six pack of beer. And we had a loaded foursome. So there was lots of options available. And then these vouchers, you could even customize the voucher and insert, you know, the recipient's name. So we had, you know, a lot of the people who purchased the vouchers weren't even golfers, because it was, you know, someone buying something for, you know, a loved one, a dad or, you know, whatever, whoever it would appeal to. And it was extremely successful. So that was my first kind of go at following your instructions.
So the coupon, the coupon there, you're so, I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So you had the offer on the, in the Facebook ad was a coupon, but then you mentioned they were selling vouchers that were redeemable during the season. What's the difference there?
Okay. So I have a WordPress website.
Okay.
And I use WooCommerce.
Mm-hmm.
And WooCommerce has a plugin that's called a voucher plugin. And then it also has a coupon option.
Okay.
And so what I ran was an ad that was giving the coupon code with basically it was linked to those products in my store.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And so then when they would go to the store, they could put in that coupon code. And I've tried different things, you know, 25% off, 50% off. Essentially, what I was trying to do is create my own in-house Groupon.
Yeah.
And something where I was able to, you know, keep all the money rather than having to share it with that third party. And so what happens is then an email is automatically sent out, and I made these gift certificates in Canva, and then this plugin for WooCommerce allows you to, you know, put in little areas where the recipient name could go in there or a special message or anything like that. And so my main ad was actually just a discount code for my online store.
Got
and
it.
Then we made them all be, they have to be redeemed by the end of August.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And so what was that? What was the, for the coupon, what was the, you know, was it, you said it was a discount? What was the special there?
For Cyber Monday, we did 50% off.
50% off. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. This was just kind of a complete experiment. And I was kind of cheating because, you know, in a local business, you know, the easiest thing is to use a coupon. I mean, everybody likes coupons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have since moved on to trying different things where I'm not necessarily discounting my product. And I've had some, you know, good success with that as well. But
so I want to kind of talk about that just real quick on the coupon codes. Did they have to, I'm assuming they had to enter their email in order to get those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I
took them, they went to a landing page.
Uh-huh.
So, and they would go to the landing page and then fill out their information. I use lead pages.
Okay.
So, and then that coupon would then just be sent to them automatically, the code to it.
Got it.
And then I, you know, I tagged them in my email system so that now I can, you know, figure out, you know, who used that and create audiences based off of them. So
I love it. I love it. So you're doing everything right here. What email system are you using?
I use Drip.
Okay.
I absolutely love Drip. It is, I love them. They are awesome. And I've taught myself absolutely everything, mostly through listening to your podcast and then purchasing your local program. And, you know, I'm an English teacher. That's what I went to school for. But I can see, you know, I'm just trying to stay ahead of the curve. I have three teenage children, and I know, you know, they, you know, this younger generation, they just don't look at marketing, and even how they purchase, even from a local business, is completely foreign to how, you know, certainly I grew up. And so I just try to stay ahead of that curve.
So I love that you're doing this. And I think one question that keeps popping up in my mind is that, are you doing all this yourself?
I do, yeah.
Because I was hearing, like, you're setting up the email campaign. You're going into Canva to do the graphics. You're setting up, you know, the WooCommerce and all that stuff. Very, 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 very impressive. How much time would you say are you spending, just curious here, on your marketing? Let's just say on a weekly basis.
On a weekly, well, first of all, the one advantage to running a golf course is that I'm really, really busy 6 months out of the year. And then the other 6 months I can, you know, I can be sitting behind a keyboard and it's not, you know, detrimental to the business. So most of these campaigns were set up in the winter when I just, you know, I clearly have more time to spend stuck behind my computer.
Yeah, sure.
And now, like, so, you know, during the winter, you know, I'll be honest, some of it was, you know, I was learning, but I mean, I probably spent 40 hours a week just because I kind of viewed it as my job.
Sure, sure.
And, but now that I am back in season and doing more of my general manager type duties, I probably spend maybe 10 hours a week just kind of getting everything situated. And most of that is monitoring the campaigns that I set up back in February.
Got it. Got it. Okay. You did $50,000 in sales during this Cyber Monday offer. How much did you spend in Facebook ads to do that?
It was right around $100. It was not very much.
Wait, you did $100 ad spend and you did $50,000?
Yeah.
I actually don't think I knew that. I don't think I knew you only spent $100. And this was this just one campaign? Was this just like one? How many ads were you testing here? Sort of take me through sort of the scope of the ad campaign that you're doing.
So I was, like I said, this was my first go. I was extremely naive. I'm kind of nervous, honestly, because this is really out there for my industry, certainly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was, you know, making sure the coupon code worked at like 3 a.m. I'm watching YouTube videos, you know, to figure it out. And so I just kind of went for it. And mostly because I didn't know anything about the Pixel, and the Pixel was somewhat intimidating to me. And so I just kind of had that be a non-issue for me. And I primarily used my email list and a lookalike audience of my email list, and then just a local audience in general, you know, a very tight local audience, maybe
sure.
only within 15 miles. And, you know, I have an advantage, you know, just as a business in general, you know, when you've been around for almost 50 years, you know, people just kind of know who you are, even though they may not necessarily even be a golfer.
Yeah. Now, during this time, so that particular offer was for the golf course, and obviously you've got four mm-hmm. other areas of the business here that you can, like you mentioned, if you're marketing to HR people, you know, for the event space, I'm curious to hear more about, you said that you're now trying other offers that don't necessarily discount. What are those types? Can you give us some examples of what some of those offers are?
Yeah, sure. So once I was like, wow, Rick is right. I kind of, you know, started like, well, I guess I'm going to try something else now and see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have probably maybe 20 active campaigns that I'm running right now using your methods.
Mm-hmm.
I have another thing that was huge for me is that I used to advertise on The Knot and Wedding Wire and stuff like that. And, you know, I was spending, you know, between $3,000 and $5,000 a year in advertising. And the thing that I did not ever like about that is because it was, you know, it'd be a year long contract, and I might be completely booked up with weddings, and yet I'm still paying, you know, this monthly fee, even though I have to turn everybody down. It was kind of annoying to me.
Yeah.
And so my next campaign that I put together in January was one to attract newly engaged couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so I created a wedding planner and gave a wedding planner away for free. Once again, my Facebook ad was going to a landing page. And then on my landing page, they could sign up to get a free wedding planner. And
what is that? What's a wedding planner?
It's about 50 pages of just everything. You know, I know this is ridiculous. This is a family-owned business, and so my real title is Wizard of Fun, because I do lots of really, I just kind of wear lots of hats.
Yeah.
So I also am the event coordinator. And so I've been doing weddings for about 10 years.
Okay.
And so basically what I did was I kind of helped to accumulate everything that I have noticed over the last 10 years of, you know, what would help people be organized as far as where to look for vendors, you know, how to set up tables or not set up tables, what are advantages, disadvantages. So basically I just did a massive brain dump of everything that I have learned over the last 10 years of helping people plan weddings. I've probably helped plan maybe 200 weddings.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I just kind of put that all in a big Google Doc, and then I sent it to Upwork, and they made it be a pretty PDF.
Sure. Okay.
My Facebook ad is like, hey, you know, go and grab this free wedding planner. And I target local brides in the area who are newly engaged.
Got it. Okay.
And so they go to
that can't be a very big audience, right? I mean, what are we talking here?
It's not
roughly
a very big audience.
How big are we you talking?
Know, I want to say it's less than 1,000.
Okay.
It's not a huge audience, but it's a very viable audience.
Yeah.
First of all, the one thing that I've noticed is that wedding people are pretty hard to reach just because of the nature of the business. You know, they don't spend a lot of time in their office because they're out you know, coordinating.
Right.
So some of the reasons why this campaign is so successful is what I also did was, so they go and they get the free wedding planner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I follow that up with a 5-email sequence just to kind of, you know, because I'm totally going for a cold audience here.
Yeah.
And so I try to warm them up and let them know that, you know, I'm pretty harmless and that they can trust me because, you know, that's... You know, that's a common, you know, it's a hard business to be in.
Yeah, sure.
And then towards the end, on my 5th email, I basically say, hey, you know, this is the last email I'm going to be sending you with my tips. If you are at all interested in using our facility, here is a link to a video that explains, you know, how we do things. And here's a link to schedule an appointment. If I don't hear from you, you know, best of luck in your planning. And so I created just this video of me. It's kind of like a PowerPoint, basically talking over how we do things at our facility, kind of exactly what I would do if I were to meet with a couple in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that because, you know, a lot of people are trying to plan their wedding at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, they want to know right now, you know, I don't want to wait until the person, you know, returns my phone call.
Sure.
And so that's been, I think that's why that campaign has been, you know, super successful. It's just been my follow-up series is just very thorough and they feel like they know me by the time, you know, that we ever actually meet. And so I was able to completely book our facility and then turn off that campaign. You know, I think I spent maybe $500, you know, booking up our facility. We do between 30 or 40 weddings a year.
So you completely booked your space for the entire year with this campaign, and you spent how much?
It was right around $500.
$500. And what is that, like, what's roughly, just as a rough number here, what's that worth as far as revenue goes? If you've completely booked it for all these weddings.
I would say, you know, kind of maybe $150,000, $200,000, maybe.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean... For this campaign here, are you tracking the percentage of people who are going through, like, who opt in for that wedding planner guide, who ultimately book that time with you? Because that's the, you said at the final email in this 5-email sequence is the video where you're giving them, you know, sort of the lowdown on what to expect and what you guys are all about and so forth. And then it's a link to schedule a time to come in and meet with you. Is that right?
Correct.
Got it. And then, so are you tracking that, like that sort of, you know, quote unquote conversion rate there?
Probably not as well as I should be.
Well, you're doing a lot of great things. I was just curious.
I mean, it wouldn't take a lot of effort for me to be able to do that. But to be perfectly honest, most of those weddings are booked for next year. So there's always kind of a delayed gratification for weddings because we're always working, you know, a year out in advance.
Right. But you only spend $500, whereas before you were spending between $3,000 and $5,000 on, you know, a platform mm-hmm. like The Knot, and you were locked into a 12-month commitment, even though you were completely booking. Maybe let's just say you book in April and you still got, you know, all the remaining, you still got another, you know, 8 months there. To that you don't have to, you know, you're paying for, but you don't, you know, it's already booked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if I make the same amount of money that I always did, you know, to me with that particular campaign, it's a cost savings of what I was previously doing and better leads because I can be more specific of what exactly I can offer versus another facility. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Are you doing offers for, you said you have mini golf, you've got the driving range, you've got all these other, you know, other, I kind of call them business units, but maybe you don't look at them mm-hmm. like that. Are you running other offers for those things too?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I like Facebook so much is because, you know, it allows me to actually find that person that previously it was really, really hard for me to find, you know, who that decision maker was. So, you know, we do my current campaigns. One of them is for a miniature golf birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we give away, they once again, you know, I'm kind of the same procedure where they're going to a landing page to get it's tips for planning a child's birthday. Mm. And so they're getting the tips. And then I follow that up with an email sequence again. And then I also, that's just a 3-part email sequence. And then I give them a coupon on that. I figure if they listen to me for 3 emails, they probably could, you know, use a little bit of a coupon. And then I also have a lot of fundraiser golf outings. And so I have a campaign where they go to a landing page and they get like top 10 ways of how to, you know, best to plan a golf outing. And so they, you know, get those. And then once again, there's a follow-up series that I don't give any coupon for whatsoever, because that's just, you know, building a trust factor with me.
Sure.
Because, you know, like I said, it's so unusual in this industry to have any sort of automation whatsoever,
yeah.
Not even including the free information that I'm giving away. And so that's been, you know, good for us as well. And then I'm working on a campaign for team building to try and attract more like just HR people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't put all the details to that yet. I've tried a couple ones and I haven't been successful just because I haven't figured out exactly what that HR person wants, you know, to get them to come to our facility. So mm-hmm. I keep stabbing at that. I can't, you know, you can't always have home runs, but
yeah.
Overall we've had a lot of success.
I mean, I love that you're approaching it from, you know, you mentioned like for the mini golf, you're doing coupons further down the road. I mean, you are giving them tips up front. Like that's what the offer is in the Facebook ad. You're giving them tips. You said they get into a 3 email follow-up sequence. It's automated. And then, you know, and then you're introducing the coupon there. How successful are you finding? Because not only are you building, and one thing I want to talk about here in a second is you're building your email list during all of this. And as you mentioned, you're able to tag in drip so that you're like, all right, these are the, I don't know, the mini golf people. And these are the, you know, these are the conference people and so forth. What kind of cost per lead are you seeing? Let's just say on that mini golf campaign. And then are you tracking that further down the, I hate calling this sort of thing a funnel, but that's really what it is here. But from the cost per lead right down through, how many people redeem that coupon?
Right. So we had about maybe 30 miniature golf birthday parties in June, and they were all booked through my website, through the Facebook ad.
Wow.
I tried the offers. It felt like it might be a good fit, and I did not have very good luck with that. So then I actually went in and rebuilt the campaign using different objective
mm-hmm.
for the beginning, because that offer one just didn't work really well for me.
Oh, you tried the offer objective.
Mm-hmm.
Got
yeah.
it, and that did not
yeah.
work. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so I changed the objective, and then I've had a lot better luck with that. The offer wasn't working well because I think it was like around $5 was my cost per lead.
Okay.
And now I'm running, I think just traffic is what I, if my memory serves me correctly, but, mm-hmm. and now I've got it down to like around, like, I think it was $1.03 when I checked it the other day. And I like that better. And so I think I have close to 50 booked here in July. That's working well. And then the birthday party is average around $100. And like you mentioned, what I'm super pleased with is that it's building my database more intelligently than what I had previously done. Being a local business, I previously would have to depend on my staff to, you know, put that name in my point of sale system and make sure, you know, they were ringing it up correctly so that I could, you know, tag things through my point of sale system. Well, you know, I would love to meet the person who, you know, does really well with that. I just, for years, I've never been able to get my staff to follow all those procedures well. Not because they're, you know, lazy or anything, but, you know, we're very busy. And
so, you're busy.
You know, their goal is to get people checked in and out playing golf or out playing miniature golf. And, you know, they just have it, which is fine. This is why I liked building my list this way, because now my customer is the one who is tagging themselves by, you know, signing up for whatever that, you know, the offer is that I'm giving. So, like, for instance, we're getting ready to have a mini Masters tournament at our miniature golf course.
Nice.
And So I'm going to use all those people that have gone to my mini golf landing page, and I have a pixel on that, and I've been building an audience because obviously those people, you know, play miniature golf. And so now I'll be able to retarget them to let them know about my mini Masters golf tournament.
I love it. I love it. And when you retarget those, because we're talking smaller audiences here, we're in, you know, a local area in Iowa there. And I mean, not just in Iowa, anybody who is a local business like this and you're in a smaller area, you know, maybe trying the reach objective when you do that, because it's a smaller audience and you're retargeting that audience because those people are already quote unquote warm because they've visited your the mini golf page. So they've shown interest there. You build that audience, going to be a smaller audience there. So I would suggest testing the reach objective to reach as many of those people as possible because they are qualified.
Yes.
Already.
I just recently, a couple of weeks ago, listened to your podcast all about that. And so my next two objectives that I've used have been reach.
I love it.
So, you know, honestly, I think that's the hardest part for a local business is, you know, because there are some nuances that are a little different than from an online business.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So you kind of have to work your way through those types of things of, you know, what is working best. And particularly because, you know, none of my campaigns have, you know, more than maybe, I think my largest campaign might have 10,000, you know, people. I mean, I don't have 100,000, you know, millions of people like
right.
you would with an online business.
Sure. Sure. I want to, you mentioned before that you tried the offer objective. It didn't work. How long did you give that campaign before you were like, you know what, this is not working. Back to the drawing board. I'm going to test something else out.
You're probably going to scold me. I did only give it 2 weeks. But, you know, this goes back to I have such a short time period that I thought, you know what, I've never used the offer objective before. I need to, you know, move on quickly and see if that's the problem. So,
well, no, I think, two weeks is sufficient time, especially like you just mentioned there. Your time is of the essence for you because, you know, your window is only, you know, several months long. We're not talking just endless opportunities here. So no, I think 2 weeks is good. Now, and the offer was for, you know, special for the mini golf. Most people think in that way. They think, you know, I need to lead with this sort of discount or coupon code or whatever it is. You tried that. It didn't work. I'd love to hear sort of your thought process to go back to, you know what, maybe I should give away, I think it was the tips for running a party or something like that. What was that thought process like?
Mostly my thought process is that didn't work. What else can I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I have tried to talk to people who, you know, come out here and, you know, get a feel for, like, why did they select us? You know, why was it a nice event? And try and fill in those areas where they're missing things. You know, you try to find, you know, what would have made this an easier decision for you to have come out here? Or why had you never, you know, in the case of a miniature golf birthday party, you know, why have you never used this before? I mean, we make it really easy. They basically show up. They don't have to clean their house. You know, they go play miniature golf. We make pizza and cake for them. You know, I mean, they literally just show up. And so, you know, when they come here, you know, I'm always walking through our facility, you know, just checking in on making sure everybody's happy and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I just will stop and just casually visit. And so those are the types of things that I, you know, I just try to listen to what their pain points are.
Gotcha. And I mean, when you say that, are you like are you stopping and talking to your customers? Are you overhearing things? Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Primarily, I talk to my customers.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. What's next for you? Like, I'm listening to all these different things that you're doing. I am so impressed. And I knew a little bit about what you're doing. But I mean, man, during this conversation here, I didn't realize the extent of what you're doing. And I am super, super impressed. What's next for you? I mean, we're heading towards, you know, sort of the middle of the summer, if you will, here in the U.S. What do you got on the horizon?
Because I have had a lot of success, I actually have been invited to do a tech con for golf course operators.
Oh,
and
really?
And so I'm actually going to be teaching what it is I've been doing, and hopefully we'll bring golf into the next century.
I love that. When is that? When is that? Is that later this year in like the winter time?
Yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah, it's in September. It's in Las Vegas. I'm at the end of September.
Nice.
And so I actually started a blog kind of more focusing on helping fellow golf course operators because many of them are like me where you are wearing multiple hats and golf, you know, kind of has a reputation of being, you know, not super technologically advanced. And when your business is not keeping up with the times, then, you know, you're going to run into troubles eventually. And so that's why I started blogging and explaining, like, you know, what is a landing page, you know, because, you know, in the online world, that's, you know, kind of a no-brainer. But if I, you know, tell a fellow golf operator, you know, first thing you want to do is a landing page, they're like, I don't even know what that means.
Right.
So what I've been doing is just trying to explain to them, you know, like, what's the purpose of a hashtag? You know, why would you even need a hashtag for your golf course? And so I mean, my goal, you know, like I said, I went to school to be a teacher. And so my goal is to have super lofty goals. I really want to, you know, be a huge influence for the industry as a whole and try and, you know, help teach them how to use those marketing, you know, things that are out there to their advantage.
I love it. And you are well on your way. I mean, that I really didn't know about that you've been invited to teach at the conference. I didn't know that you started the blog. Like I said, I do some of this stuff, but I am super, super impressed. And I have a feeling that you're going to reach that goal much, much faster than you might think. My last question for you, Allison, is when do you sleep? When you've got so much going on, when do you sleep?
You know, I sleep very well when I finally put my head on the pillow. You know, people ask me that all the time, and I've always been, you know, kind of a go-getter, and I do sleep, but I'm just, you know, hyper-organized, and I love the process of learning something that works. And I mean, I will never forget Cyber Monday when, you know, I sold all of those vouchers. And I mean, I couldn't believe that it actually worked. And it was just really super rewarding. And so I'm driven by that.
I love it. Are you doing any, you mentioned before you used to do radio, TV, Groupon, all those other things. Are you doing any of that anymore? Or are you just doing Facebook?
I stopped doing all of it. I don't do any of it. I don't know why anybody would, honestly.
And so I'm guessing with you mentioned before, with the amount of money that you're spending on your Facebook ads is not a lot. So I'm guessing that you've cut your marketing budget significantly.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. By tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Wow.
And I have, you know, I'm having a 10 times better result. And I always tell people, before I was introduced to you, I used to just boost my posts, you know, because I thought my post would be about, you know, something we were doing here at the golf course. And then, you know, you boost it, you know, you get excited like, wow, you know, 20,000 people saw that. Well, you know, in the end, who cares if 20,000 people saw it? Because if only, you know, if maybe only 10 of them were golfers, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so that's kind of the way I view television and radio. You know, they would always, you know, they would meet with me and say, oh, you know, you're going to have, you know, 50,000 people see your ad, you know. I'm like, well, you know, I was naive and say, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to be so busy, I won't know what to do with myself. That was never the case. And because I realized that if 50,000 people hear my ad, there might only be 10 of them that, you know, whatever actually come. So
yeah.
I stopped doing all other forms of advertising and now only do Facebook, just because, I mean, the power of targeting and retargeting is just so huge. I mean, there's nothing like it out there. I it's awesome. I love it.
It's like a
big puzzle piece.
I agree. I love that you think about it that way. It is a big puzzle piece. And I love the mindset that you're approaching all this with, you know, going back to that, you know, you ran the offer ad for 2 weeks. You know what? It didn't work. Even though $5 a lead is still good, you're like, you know what? This is not working the way I want it to. Back to the drawing board. I'm going to test something else out. What's something else I could do? You went and tried it. Now you're getting, I think you said $1.03 leads, which is awesome. And you're booking out the entire, you know, entire months at a time. You're booking out all of your weddings for the entire year. I am so impressed with what you've done here, Allison. Congratulations on
thank you. I couldn't have done it without you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. look, what I want to make sure that people can connect with you. Where can people connect with you? I want to make sure that we link up the blog in the show notes for the episode. So where can people connect with you?
Sure. Well, my main golf course's website is just toadvalley.com. I know it's a weird name. My family's kind of quirky.
Toadvalley.com.
And then toadvalley.com. And then my blog, where I'm kind of, you know, dissecting and, you know, telling golf course operators, although obviously other people could, I'm sure, glean some information out of it, is theallisongeorge.com.
Theallisongeorge.com.
Yeah.
And that's Allison with two L's. I'll be sure to link that up in the show notes for the episode here today. Everybody, if you go to toadvalley.com, you're going to get retargeted, so you can see what Allison is doing here from a from a retargeting
standpoint.
That'll
screw up all my local stuff.
Exactly. Allison, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being so forthcoming with all your information and about what you're up to. Again, congratulations on all your success, and thank you again
thank
for coming
you.
On.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one with Allison today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm going to be doing 3 live online training classes starting on Wednesday, July 26th. I'm going to be doing 2 on Wednesday, the 26th, and then 1 on Thursday, the 27th. And these online training classes are all about how local businesses can increase leads and sales with Facebook ads while cutting your marketing budget. If you are a local business looking for a more cost-effective way to consistently attract qualified leads and customers to your local business, this free online training is going to be for you. You can pick one of the days and times that works best for you. So if you'd like to register, just go to rickmulready.com/FBAdsLocal. That's rickmulready.com/FBAdsLocal. Or if you're here in the US, you can text the word local training. That's one word. Text local training to 44222, and you can register for a day and time that you'd like to do right over your phone there. For all the links that we talked about here today, head over to the show notes page, which you can find at rickmulready.com/145. As always, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Really appreciate it. Coming up in the next episode, I'm going to share another local business case study with you, this time with returning guest Mike Barnett, where he's going to break down a campaign where he spent $300 in Facebook ads for a local weight loss franchise, and he brought in over $15,000 in revenue from that $300 spend. All that coming up in next week's episode. So until then, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.